Welcome to this edition of the Bullpen Day, talking about free agency, new uniforms, all kinds of good stuff is happening in this Texans offseason. But first, Tom, Curtis, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited. I can't say enough. The Texans are just pulling all the right strings, in my opinion. We'll obviously get into it. Curtis, how you doing, sir?
Doug, I'm doing well. Pleasure to be here. I'm excited to talk Texans ball. There's been a lot of moves that I am so hype about, and there's a lot of stink out there that I'm seeing from some fans that I think is unwarranted.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how you can look at those new uniforms, and I think the most common comparison I've seen is looks like the Falcons uniforms, which I don't think is a very valid comparison, but we'll get to that in a minute. Curtis has been on the show before. Curtis runs Curtis's Podcast Network. They have an AFC South podcast branching out and doing individual team podcast for the AFC South. Well, I'll actually be going on the Texans one shortly after we're done here, so make sure you check that out. And Curtis, you're a regular, so thanks for coming back on. I guess it takes two appearances, right? Now you're officially a regular on the bullpen.
I guess if there's a Hall of Fame, I'm probably close to it, you know?
Close to it, top 10 for sure.
Need those sizes, you know, get your jacket fitted for you, sir.
Hey.
All right, well, so let's start with free agency, and we'll start today because this is a move that Tom and I specifically have talked about being a very important one for this Texans pass rush. Today, the Texans re-signed Derek Barnett. They got him on a one-year deal per Aaron Wilson, and I just want immediate, quick thoughts on it. We'll start with Curtis because we don't know where Curtis is at on that. So, Curtis, what do you think?
I thought it was a phenomenal pickup when we picked him up last season in the middle of the year. I was hyped because I knew he was buried in the rotation in Philadelphia. And when he was given the opportunity to start, he didn't do a whole lot, but he played well down the stretch. If I'm not mistaken, like 7 sacks or something, 6 or 7.
Barnett was at 2.5, I want to say. I think if you account the postseason, it's 3.5.
I don't know what I'm dreaming, but
I mean, it felt like I get that feeling because, like, I thought it was a higher number when I was thinking about it, but I believe the number's 2.5 regular season and 3.5 post, if you include postseason.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's still, for a guy that we kind of just picked up thinking he was going to be nothing, playing into injury or playing because of injury, did well. I'm happy we brought him back. Of course, he's a Tennessee boy, so I'm always happy to see those guys employed. So.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Tom. Your thoughts?
For me, it's the perfect signing. It's a great move. The length, the guy, being somebody that was already in the locker room. Obviously, we saw this Texan team struggle mightily when guys went down with the injury. And this is a depth piece that you feel that was so necessary. Danielle Hunter, obviously, the big splashy signing. And I cannot wait to see him opposite Will Anderson Jr. meeting in the backfield, sandwiching a quarterback for half a sack. However, if for whatever reason something should happen, having a guy like Derek Barnett to back them up, to rotate in and out, to give those guys a blow is going to be such a I guess, exciting thing for the simple fact that you know what he can do. You've seen it. He's got a resume that you can feel good about him being the third pass rusher or fourth pass rusher, whatever he is, just coming off the bench to be able to give those guys a break and still putting out a quality pass rush.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that concerned me going into this offseason was that another team would see what he did in the small sample size for the Texans and decide, oh, well, we should give him like a 2 or 3 year cheap deal, get him now and see if he can be, because he's a first round pick from the Eagles. They cut him. Because they were, I mean, the Eagles are pretty stacked on defense in a lot of ways, so I think they just didn't really have room to keep him. And it was a mastermind move by Nick Cassiere to pick him up off waivers. But I think what ended up happening is that Barnett showed really well for the Texans towards the end of the season in the opportunities that he got, but it wasn't enough for another team to swoop in and be like that. So the first part of free agency that first week was him testing the market to see, and when the phones didn't quite ring in the way that he wanted, he was like, okay, you know, what do you got? And Nick was like, you know, my favorite thing to do is to give 1 year deals to guys that have a lot of potential. And so we saw it with Blake Cashman this past offseason, coming in, showing through a whole season who he is as a linebacker and getting signed by the Vikings to the big deal. So yeah, I mean, I'm super stoked that we get Derek Barnett for another year, especially in that rotation piece role. I think that it's just right. I'm not mad that it's a 1 year deal. I think that's about what I would have expected. Now, another signing from today was Steve Sims Jr. And it's not quite the receiver signing that I think a lot of Texans fans were looking for, but I mean, he did have a punt return for a touchdown. I think it's more of a special team signing, but how do y'all feel about that? We'll start with Tom on this one.
I think he's really more about depth. I definitely think that the special team thing, he definitely fits that role, but he also can be a player in the wide receiver room if they need him to be. It's not splashy. It's not sexy, but at the same time, I think he's a needed piece. Somebody that, you know, can return kicks, can return punts. We saw last year where they kind of had to experiment due to injury. And I don't know that they want that. I think they want a proven guy back there. So for me, this is a smart roster filling move. I think Nick has been really good about getting all of those pieces lined up throughout the offseason so that it's not a scrape the bottom of the barrel. You got to bring somebody that was on somebody's practice roster. No, this is a guy with some actual experience, has been on 53-man rosters, that can, you know, be on the field game one.
No, yeah, I agree. Curtis, what do you got?
This is what I would consider, and I heard somebody say this, and I've echoed it ever since. There was a lot of moves that happened in the first day or so of the Texans' free agency period where it was roster moves, where it's just special teams guys coming in, because we're trying to keep Frank Ross in the building. So it's roster moves. But
I was like Ross? Oh, Frank Ross.
I didn't get it either. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
This is one of those. He came on late in the season. We kept him on the practice squad for kind of an injury break glass in case of emergency kind of guy. And when we had those injuries show up, he filled in on special teams and freed up Damian Pierce to do other things, probably. but no, Steven Sims, I'm not upset about it. It keeps Frank Ross happy. I'm happy. The dude is the beast. So,
yeah. Speaking of Damian in the chat says future Hall of Famer. I think that's a stretch. But yeah. I mean, Steve Sims, I like what he brings. I think you're right. Frank Ross needs pieces to work with. I think the Texans did an excellent job bringing in who's the Chiefs punter? Tommy Townsend. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
I always think of the Who when I think of him. So they brought in Tommy Townsend to replace Cam Johnston, which was great because now he still has pieces, kept Kymie Fairbairn. The question is who's going to return kicks? Obviously, I think Tank Dell is at the top of that list, whether it's punts or kicks. But if you can have a guy on the roster who is not Tank Dell doing that, I think it gives you a bit more certainty that Tank Dell can do his thing on offense, where we all would like to see him play an entire season. So I like the move. I think that at worst, you brought up Damian Pierce. He might be like competing with Damian Pierce. And if they feel like Damian Pierce is the kick return or punt return guy, they might send Steven Sims down to the practice squad. I don't know. Like you said, it's not a flashy signing, but it is what it is. Last week on the show, we were talking. And the talk was, I kind of feel like Ian Rapoport, you know, when are they going to break the Eric Armstead news? And you know, hindsight's 2020. It's been a week. Armstead signed with the Jaguars at a number that was probably a lot more than I would have liked to see the Texans pay for him. So in the time since, we haven't really seen a lot of flash moves from the Texans per se. And the running joke is that they settled for Tim Settle. Which I don't know if that's necessarily the case. It depends on how they view it. But how do you view the interior defensive line right now based off of what we've seen from free agency and having not picked up Eric Armstead? We'll start with you, Curtis.
It depends. My opinion kind of depends on where you put Denico Autry, because he's got that versatility of being inside and outside. At the moment, if he's inside, it's him, Fotokasi, Settle, and then the guys who are already on the roster that are still under contract. I don't hate it. There's definitely room to grow, and I think that there's definitely a need to draft for the future because all these guys are a little long in the tooth for my taste. So I kind of base that on like how I play Madden on certain positions, at least running back particularly. But yeah, some of these guys I'm not a huge fan of, but they're rotational, and I'm not upset about Fotokasi at least. But
yeah, no doubt. Tom, how are we feeling about the interior defensive line?
It's obviously an area of concern for a Texan team that doesn't have a ton of concerns. And I know everybody wants, I'll use the Madden reference. I know everybody wants a team full of 99s, and I do too. I do. But you're just not going to be able to go out and get all 99s. Now, I will say they did a damn good job on the edges. So while I would love to have a ton in the middle to run stop and you know, to push that line, I think that's a position they can address in the draft. They can obviously coach that up with D'Amico being, you know, that guy. I think I don't feel like there's a position on the defensive line that D'Amico can't coach up. So I really feel that if there is going to be an area where it's not your strength, I like that it's an area that D'Amico can probably mentor. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm stretching it a little bit because I know he was a linebacker, but that's just my feeling on it. I really hope they address it in the draft and somebody falls to them. Maybe they make a move to get somebody and then we're not talking about it. We're going, wow, you know, they've got a good young piece that they can build around. Obviously, like you said, D'Amico Autry is a guy that can play in there. They've got some bodies. I do feel like they'll be serviceable, much in the same way the offensive line kind of was serviceable last year, even though, you know, guys went down and George Fant stepped in and some of these other guys that we weren't talking about before the season started were playing major roles and they were key contributors.
Yeah, and Autry, I think, is the piece that we have to really pay attention to there because D'Amico Autry, you know, like we said, there's two linemen that have been signed so far that are versatile to go inside and outside. And one thing that's been brought up that I've seen is that we could see the other a major rotation, right? It could just be a rotation of defensive linemen. You know, Kurt Heinisch, in some people's eyes, showed a lot. And then Khalil Davis, you know, came over from the XFL and showed something. So maybe they have a lot of faith in those guys on early downs, and maybe you see D'Amico Autry come in as a pass rusher, like a third down inside guy, and maybe also providing rotational support to the defensive ends. But we won't know until we see it. I've noticed that, at least I've observed on Twitter, a lot of people seem to believe that D'Amico Ryans doesn't like bigger defensive linemen a whole lot at all. So it could just be that he wants a different build than what's available. And I think it could spell that they're not really looking to pursue a Tavondre Sweat type. Maybe they're looking at Braden Fisk in the second round. But from the chat, last thing we'll talk about with free agency before we kind of move past that, they asked, who should the Texans sign next? And I'm going to ask you guys, what is left in this free agency period before this team is draft ready, if you will? In your eyes, we'll start with you, Tom.
I'm going to steal your thunder, James, because I know this is a name that you would probably say if the roles were reversed. And it's Tyler Boyd. He's unsigned, the wide receiver. I feel like that's the one thing a lot of people, Twitter, Insta, YouTube, you name it, are clamoring for. What are we going to do? We need one more wide receiver. Yes, Tank and Nico are nice, but there's that one other wide receiver spot that's left unfilled. I don't think they need it. I think if the well runs dry and nobody is hitting up Tyler Boyd, the 1 year prove it deal is a Nico is a specialty for RGM. So I'm okay with Tyler Boyd.
You're not quite stealing my thunder, but I do like that answer. But I'll hold off until it's my turn. Curtis, what have you got for us?
If there was another move to be made in free agency, and I'm not sure that there is, depending on how Casario is feeling about these two gentlemen, we have yet to address safety in any sort of meaningful sense. Eric Murray is not necessarily somebody who's good. but You got Julian Blackman and Justin Simmons still on the market right now. Those are two guys who, at least on a one-year deal, would be serviceable. And, you know, Justin Simmons being 30 years old can mentor somebody. That doesn't – like, so we bring in either one of those guys, it doesn't necessarily mean that we don't draft somebody. And I'm cool with that. That would be my go-to.
I have to go with Curtis here. I think that safety is what I'd rather them address in free agency. I think that all signs are pointing towards the Texans potentially liking what they have in defensive tackle and maybe looking later at like a Michael Hall Jr., the other MHJ from Ohio State. So I think that safety, especially like the key term is veteran safety. I think that the way that you fix the Texans safety woes, if you will, and the frustration surrounding Jalen Petrie is not by adding another young person into that room. It could very well be what they decide to do, but I do think, and Justin Simmons, sure. Julian Blackman, any of those names would be solid, I think, in terms of what the Texans need at that position. Addressing the chat, someone said offensive line, and I love when people say that because I am you're about to hear what I think about that. I've said it once, I've said it 100,000 times. The Texans offensive line, while part of the problem in the run game, was definitely not something that can be addressed, that should be addressed. I mean, depth, right? They can go for depth. So yeah, sure, sign more people. Charlie Heck, whether you want to believe it or not, was a solid signing for the Texans for what he's intended to be. But the only position that is, or the only starting five offensive linemen that could possibly not be on the roster right now as it stands, as the Texans intend to go into the season, is left guard. And that's if Kenyon Green just doesn't have a good showing in a full offseason of work before, you know, going into a season healthy. So the Texans offensive line, they may address that late in the draft. I don't think they're looking to pick an offensive lineman prior to the fourth round. I think the fifth is the earliest that we could see them address offensive line. And I think in free agency, as much as I'd like to see like a Dalton Risner, like if they're looking to address offensive line in free agency and they're looking to add someone who could potentially start at left guard, Dalton Risner is the name that comes to mind. But I just don't think it's really the thing that addresses the offensive line is getting healthy. So that's what needs to happen with the Texans offensive line. We're getting a lot of comments in the chat about uniforms, and so it's about that time to address it. I would love to hear what Tom has to say, because Tom and I have texted about many other things this week, but we haven't exactly talked about the Texans' new uniforms. I'm fresh off of a cruise. I was on the top deck of a cruise ship when I got the news that the Texans, I'm like turning to everyone like, hey guys, they're like, we don't care about that. I'm like, okay, well I do. But Tom, I need to hear what you think about Texans' new uniform leak.
I think they're phenomenal. I think, like you said on Twitter and a lot of people said on Twitter, I think Cal McNair taking this narrative and not waiting till April, you're going to leak this. Okay, I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to give you what we have. I thought that was such a boss move. It totally, rather than, you know, sit in the shadows and kind of, well, we're not going to say anything because we already told you April 23rd is when we're bringing them out. No. He's like, let me squash this person or these people, whoever they are. And here it is. And this is what it looks like. And it's fresh. I love the new design. I think it's something that they needed. I can't wait. I feel like this is the tip of the iceberg. I think it's only going to get better from here. And I can't wait to see the other three. I mean, I get the comparison to the Falcons. I had somebody on Twitter post both of them together. They look fairly similar. The font is very similar. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think the Falcons look was really good. So the fact that it's more of a Texans feel with the horns, and I really hope like it looks like some of the renderings I've seen with the red down the side. You really can't make that out yet. I'm interested to see if they do more with, I guess, the pants or whatever. And it's not going to matter, but it'd just be cooler. I think it's a great look.
No, yeah, 100%. Curtis, what do you think? Are you a big uniform guy?
I'm a big uniform guy. I like it. I like the horns on the shoulders. I'm also kind of a minimalist. Like, I don't want my jersey to be too busy. when it comes, like, I don't, it's like the, you guys seen that stupid Maryland jersey that's got like five different color schemes on it? What the hell is that? Who vomited that shirt up? Like,
I think that's something with like their flag or something. I think there is a purpose, yeah, but it's not good.
It's a good purpose. Like, they had a good heart when they were making it, but
the Maryland flag is a complicated thing. No. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, the jerseys are clean. I'm going to buy a Stroud one as soon as they drop. Like, there's no question.
100%. 100%. So I like them, and I'd like to, you know, I thought they were great. I think that the hardest part is mostly out of the way. So what I'll say is this, reading up on what we know about the new uniforms, and for those of you watching that don't keep up with that, keep up, because I'm about to read a bunch of stuff that was dropped by the Texans organization and people familiar with them. So this is good information for you if you're not keeping yourself in the loop on the Texans uniforms. And if you're not one of those people, the reason I asked you that earlier, Curtis, about if you're a uniform guy, is I've seen a lot of people comment like, I don't care what we're wearing as long as we win the Super Bowl. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Dude, like, I don't know. I like to look good on the field. But the Texans are dropping four uniforms. It's expected that they will look different. It's not so all of these concepts you're seeing of uniforms that are just the same as this one that leaked but in a different color are likely not what it's going to look like, because these uniforms are expected to communicate unique and different concepts. So that's the biggest thing I'd like to get out of the way. The other thing is with the H-Town blue, I think it makes sense that they leaked this one specifically because it doesn't have any H-Town blue, and it won't. This isn't like one of those things where we're looking at a concept car that like is going to look different coming off the assembly line. Like, this is the uniform they're going to come out with. And so it doesn't have H-Town blue because we don't expect to see H-Town blue on every uniform. For all we know, it could be on all three of the next three uniforms that are supposed to release. But per Drew Doherty, at the beginning of January in his mailbag, he said that H-Town blue will be an accent color on some of the uniforms that are coming out. So I would suspect that it's going to be featured more prominently on an alternate uniform. But that's all speculation, that last little sentence that I put out there. And the other thing is that there's people that are saying that the old English H could be featured prominently on one or two of the uniforms. So like I said, we're going to look at this uniform and say, okay, I know what all the Texans uniforms are going to look like. That's not the case. Like, they're trying to do something unique here, and I can appreciate that. To speak to your point, the point of the comparison, the Falcons, the reason that I'm happy now though, and that I really like these uniforms is one, I like the horns on the shoulder. I'll be real. I wanted horns on the helmet to look good, but I didn't see any concepts that gave me a lot of faith that was the direction they were going to go. It all just kind of looked lame. I think the only team I can think of outside of the Vikings and is the Rams that have pulled off horns on the helmet well. But I think that when I'm looking at teams that did recent uniform designs that I didn't want the Texans uniforms to look like, I'm thinking Seahawks, I'm thinking Browns, Buccaneers, and Falcons. And those are all uniforms that I just was like, it looks weird, I don't like it. And so that's one of the big reasons I don't get the comparison to the Falcons and Bears uniforms, is that those were uniforms I didn't want the Texans uniform to look like. And I don't think that it does. If you want a detail from me that I think really sticks out that could be different on the other uniforms, it's instead of Texans right here, it says Houston. And what I think they could do is they could go with kind of that trend that's in baseball, where when you're the away team, you wear your city on your chest. And when you're the home team, you wear your team name on your chest. So I think that's a detail that we should be looking at, because I 100% think that while they are shifting the focus to Houston instead of the Texans name, that is something they could be going for. And I think it's a great idea. But overall, I think the new uniform, at least the ones that have leaked so far, look great. I don't understand. I do understand, right? There are some people that will find anything to complain about. There are some people that genuinely just don't like it. It's not their style. That's fine. But I think it looks great. I'm not. You won't hear me complaining about it for a long time, unless the other three just look awful. So there's my rant. I'll step down off of my soapbox on the new uniforms. Kind of took up a lot of the time there with that one. But let's shift our focus. What's up?
Are you seeing these YouTube comments?
What are the? I'm seeing them, yeah.
Okay.
I'm seeing them. I haven't put all of them up there. Is there a lot of them? I mean, is there more than I'd say 10?
Yeah, there's like 10.
Okay, yeah, cool. I'm seeing them, man. I'm seeing them. All right. I'm glad you're looking at them too.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to be like, this guy didn't even read the thing.
It actually so it focuses into this. We have a comment here. I'll put it up on the screen for those of you that are watching and not listening the next day. I'm hoping we get Lab McCockney in the second round. We're going to shift our focus of discussion to the draft, and I feel like we didn't really get a lot more clarity, but we did get some more moves. So the first question that I have is assuming the Texans stay at pick 42, that's what I have to say, because I think there's a lot of I have full confidence the Texans won't hold that pick when the draft comes around. I just don't. Too many people that have been right before are saying that it's the case. It's Nick Caserio. He likes to trade. I say for the sake of trading. I mean, he just likes to trade a lot. There's usually a rhyme or reason to it, even if we don't know it. But assuming that they don't trade, and the Texans, you know, the plan was to be at pick 42 to take a player at that position, knowing what you know about who you think is going to be available at that point, who do the Texans go with at that pick? We'll start with you, Curtis.
That's a tough one. It kind of depends on how like the last five picks go in the first round for me. But I say more often than not, Caserio is going to trade out of this pick, but gun to my head, I would feel bad about drafting McConkey that early. Almost, I feel like he's just probably like a third round guy. I don't know. I haven't really kept up yet. I was about to do my digging into the draft prospects full force here.
You drop a position if you want. What position do you think they might be looking at?
If they stay at 42, I think it's because one of the top flight receivers fell. And they're like, all right, well, you know, this guy's here. I'm going to grab him. The hell.
Yeah. Oh, we got one from the chat. Look, that's a common answer. That's a common answer. I've seen that one a lot. Edrin Cooper.
Yep.
I mean, he's right there at College Station. It's a short drive. But Tom, what are you looking at 42?
I know it's a cop-out answer. It's been my answer for a while. It's what I hoped would happen. I really hope they take the best available player. It does not matter the position. I have what I would like to see, but that is what I think is going to happen. I think if the best available position is a safety, they'll take him. If it's a D tackle, they'll take him. If it's a wide receiver, they'll take him. You know, I really feel like they could go anyone, linebacker, they could go there. They could go all of those different places. Like Edrin Cooper makes a lot of sense. They interviewed Edrin Cooper. He said it'd be a dream to play for the Texans. And
of course it would.
You know, who wouldn't want to do that? So for me, I've kind of like we did our mock draft Mondays and I keep seeing this guy's name and I keep seeing this guy's name and I keep seeing this guy's name. Keon Coleman, if he's there at 42, everybody's talked this guy up to be a receiver that's the guy that got away, that kind of guy that you know could have been probably one of the better receivers in this draft. And for me, I the tape kind of speaks to it too. If Keon Coleman's there, I expect them to take him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I ran a mock draft and I had Keon Coleman fall there and I'm like, oh, yeah. And there, I don't understand. There's this conversation. So he went from like, I saw him at Florida State against LSU. I mean, obviously I'm not a Florida State fan. I didn't watch every game that Florida State played, but like every time I tuned into a Florida State game is like Keon Coleman. And the talk is about Jordan Travis, but you know, Keon Coleman was playing really well. And so I would love to see the Texans take him there. And I think, I think that might be what they're gearing towards. I agree with the discussion that with as big of a haul as there is of talent in this receiving class, it could be a thing where, you know, the value might not even be there at 23. Cause like you trade out of 23, you pick up a future second and you move to 42 and you still get a Keon Coleman. Or if he was to take a little bit of a fall, Brian Thomas Jr., there's other receivers like Xavier Leggett. I could go on and name like I think almost six receivers right now that could be taken at that pick just because of how deep this class is. But I could also see the Texans going with receiver later because at the end of the day, the Texans will be looking to pick up a wide receiver three, I believe. Now, there are some people that will tell you, oh, well, that's Tank Dell's role, or I don't know who's telling you that, because I'm not. But I think that it's weird to me, because Tank Dell's view from the fan base is either he's better than Nico, he is the wide receiver one, or, well, he's just a slot guy. And I can tell you the latter probably actually didn't watch him play this past season. But Tank Dell to me is firmly wide receiver two. I think that Nico Collins showed enough for us to ride with him as wide receiver one this season. And so I like the idea. So John Crumpler spoke into it, and it's played out that most receivers spend about 33% of their time on the field in the slot anyways. So you go for a guy that has wide receiver one potential in the second round, like a Keon Coleman, like a Brian Thomas Jr., and then he'll eat some of the slot time. Maybe he plays outside occasionally, and also provides you that depth for when inevitably someone's injured. I think there was maybe two or three games last season where Nico Collins and Tank Dell both played at the same time, and that might maybe an exaggeration. I have not looked at it, but they both spent extensive time injured, and I'm almost certain it was no more than four games, if I'm being real. But I'd have to look at it. So the real reason that a lot of Texans fans, rightfully so, are clamoring for the Texans to draft or acquire a wide receiver is that Noah Brown is a great wide receiver, you know, four or five, right? And flexing into three occasionally. Noah Brown is not a wide receiver two. So you need a guy who can play wide receiver three and also be wide receiver two if there's an injury. So I'm all for the Texans going wide receiver early, but I do think that there's merit to them going linebacker or defensive tackle, depending on how you view the signings they've made at defensive tackle and how much of it is depth and how much of it is viewed as players that are going to actually contribute, and instead of players that might be cut from the 53-man roster, right? So I think wide receiver is more likely than people think, and the only thing really outside of defensive tackle that makes me think otherwise is the confirmed interest between Adrian Cooper, and I believe it's been said that D'Amico Ryans really likes him. But I don't know if linebacker is where the Texans should go. I just know that there's confirmed interest there. I'd have to look a little closer at the fit in terms of where Adrian Cooper even plays. I haven't really looked super close at that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's exciting times. How many picks do you think the Texans will have when all is said and done? Well, after all the moving, do you think that they end up taking eight players this year, or do you think that they maybe cut the roster down?
Didn't we have like 11 or 12 picks to start the year last year?
I'm pretty sure that was the number. It was high.
Yeah. And then we ended up drafting like seven dudes. I think something like that is probably pretty realistic. I would imagine, what do we have? 2 seconds. God bless. We got like nine picks. Probably like six or seven players. Because Casario's going to move up and down the board all day, every day.
It's all about the assets. That's what it is. That's all these picks are. He's trading to acquire assets. Mm-hmm. Tom, what do you think? What's your guess?
I'm the other way. For me, five max. I feel like when you look at the way they went out and did all this work to go get these guys to fill depth, you start looking at how many places they already have on the team. So you don't really, I mean, in my mind, they have a pretty complete roster. You're not filling it full of draft guys. So I see a lot of moves like you guys are talking about, but maybe to move up, maybe to move back to get like future picks. Mm-hmm. So I think this team is more kind of catered to, okay, we need five guys maybe to add to this, because it doesn't do them any good to draft somebody just to cut them or to stick them on the practice squad. I mean, they can go find those guys. They did it all last season where they pulled guys off of other practice squads. So for me, I feel like there's just not going to be this big, huge draft haul when it's all said and done. I could be 100% wrong, but for some reason, I think it's going to be they trade back up into the first round, like some people are speculating. Well, that's going to cost you two picks. And then now you look and they maybe make another move there that they move up again or something like that. And then they only have like five guys.
Yeah, and understanding what happened in the seventh last year where Brandon Hall ended up getting drafted, and I think he's practice squad. I know he, like, at one point got released. So, like, why are we hanging on to, you know, day three assets that aren't going to do anything, might not even make the roster? So I 100% understand from that perspective. We do have a question from the chat. It says, do you think we trade Dameon Pierce? And Tom, I know how much you love talking about Dameon Pierce, so I'm going to let you address that one first.
I understand the question. I understand how some people feel like you get something for him now because you're not going to get anything out of him. Clearly, he's not the guy. Now they've invested in Mixon. However, I will say this. For the next, I think, two years, you have Dameon Pierce for basically the cheapest possible price you can get a guy to be your RB2 or 3, whatever the case may be. If they go draft a guy, I'm absolutely in love with Corum out of Michigan. Hope they find a way to get him on this roster because the dude's an animal. I watched him do the whole bench press thing. Incredible strength for a dude that is a running back doing like lineman reps, you know, at 225. Monster. So I get the whole Dameon Pierce is washed or whatever the term is. But I just, as far as a value piece for a team at depth in a position where running backs are injured all the time, Dameon Pierce is better on this team than he is trying to trade him for a draft pick, in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, so the only situation I can think of where trading him makes more sense. Understanding this, the Texans have only acquired Joe Mixon. They've not made any other move at running back. So to talk about trading Dameon Pierce and not having another running back on the roster is an interesting topic to say the least. But assuming they address that in other ways, undrafted, I think that as we get closer to the draft and we see no movement at running back or wide receiver, those are two things that indicate to me the Texans are looking to address that in the draft. But unless you can literally sell a team on the potential of Dameon Pierce, like, hey, look at his first season, forget about last season, and like your scheme, like I'm talking to another team, I'm saying your scheme is perfect for him. You are a team that has the scheme to get what we got out of Dameon Pierce in year one in your offense. And the best part is all it's going to cost you is a fifth round pick. At that point, I'm like, okay, yeah, of course. I'm going to take the fifth round pick, but like, I don't know if you push a team that high on Dameon Pierce. So with that in mind, and then the chat's being like, we can use him as a fullback to block. I mean, he'd be really good at getting in front of people. That's for sure. I don't know if he'd be good at blocking, but we could test it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We have that guy. He's Andrew Beck.
I know, right? We do have Andrew Beck.
I don't know how you do that either.
I don't know. Curtis, what are your thoughts on the potential of trading Dameon Pierce?
I don't think you should. I think there's some way of kind of communicating what he did year one and to the system that we're doing now. I think he kind of got like a little bit of a shafting at the beginning of the season with the offensive line being in a constant carousel. And then he got hurt and just kind of usurped the role to Devin Singletary. I like Dameon. I thought highly of him coming out of Florida. I wanted us to draft him. I think he's at worst a good rotational back. I don't want him to leave. I got his jersey for a reason. Damn it.
You know, the other thing about Dameon Pierce that I don't think a lot of people realize, he's like the ultimate team guy. Like anybody else would have took the motion and sulked and not been showing up and just quit because, you know, he was a starter the year prior and done all these things. No, he took it in stride. Him and Singletary work well together. This offseason, all the talk is about going out and getting a running back. And on his Instagram, he posts a picture of Saquon Barkley's jersey, like, yo, with the eyes. Like, he's rooting for the Texans to go get a running back, like to help this team. I don't know how you don't want a guy like that on your team. I get it. he's not starter, but damn it if he can't be something else on the team somewhere.
I mean, I think he's got a place on the roster. And I think you make a great point. It reminds me of what D'Amico said going into the scouting combine, which is that, you know, it's person over player for the Texans. That's I think the biggest part about producing the culture that the Texans have so far is this understanding. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why, you know, Robert Woods, Jimmy Ward, guys that a lot of people are calling for to be cut. I shouldn't say a lot. I should say some faction of the fan base is calling for these guys to be cut for cap purposes. You know, their cap hit maybe is viewed as more valuable than other people might view it because of the person they are. And likewise, you know, if you have Damian Pierce under contract for what is basically nothing on his rookie deal in order to, you know, to bring the person that he is to the locker room, that could be worth it. I mean, I do think that they need to address running back, and that does bring up the next question, which is, in the draft, is there a specific running back that you've seen in college? I know that Tom already pointed out Blake Corum, but is there any couple of running backs that you think kind of fit really good behind Joe Mixon, beside Joe Mixon, eventually ahead of Joe Mixon? I don't know. Anyone in mind?
I got a couple. Both of them out of the University of Tennessee, because I watch them a lot. They're both entering the draft this year. Jabari Small and I think it's Jalen Wright. Jabari Small is more of a Devin Singletary type. He's not the top-end speed, but he can run through you, get 3 yards, 4 yards pretty consistently. Pretty useful in the passing game as well. Wright, however, top-end speed, he's going to make you miss. We don't have top-end make-you-miss speed right now, and I think that's something that we should definitely look into adding to the running back room. We have a lot of bigger guys. Let's throw some speed in there.
All right. Tom?
As a Longhorn fan, since I watched a lot of Longhorn football, Jonathan Brooks, University of Texas. This is a guy that declared for the draft as a junior. He rushed 187 times for 1,139 yards with 10 touchdowns and 29 catches for 286 yards. It was a little bit of do everything. And, I mean, this guy played behind, you know, arguably one of the best running backs in football right now. So I feel like who knows what he can be because we haven't really seen it. And give me Jonathan Brooks.
I also, as a Texas fan like Jonathan Brooks, I understand a lot of the critiques around Blake Corum, who is a guy that I think could be really good, in terms of the fact that he did handle a pretty large workload at Michigan, and that should be taken into account in some way. Braylon Allen is an interesting prospect to me. I'm not super sure about his fit in the offense, but I just like him as a running back, the way that he runs. So I would love that. If I'm bringing up someone, I'm going to bring Marshawn Lloyd into the mix, or maybe like a Bucky Irving. I mean, I think that whoever the Texans go with, right, and the Damian Pierce situation made me realize that, at least in the short term. But whoever the Texans go with is likely going to be a good fit in whatever way that they need. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I know who they should take, but I think that all of the running back prospects that were mentioned have their benefits. I can agree that speed is probably something the Texans should go after in that area. And so I mean, if I had to pick one and I had to go based off of draft position, I do like where I believe the Texans could get Braylon Allen. And I think that regardless of how you view his scheme fit, the draft position and the time he'll have to develop behind Joe Mixon makes sense to me. So I am all for that. I'd be more interested in where they're going to draft the running back. I don't think that they need to go super high. If they felt like they needed to spend high level draft capital on a running back, they probably would have traded, or they probably would have put more money into signing one to avoid doing that. Or who knows, maybe they just draft one high. But I like I said, I like all of them. What's going to be intriguing to me is seeing if Jonathan Brooks will fall. Because if Jonathan Brooks falls into the third round, I don't think you let him fall past 89. I believe that they're picking at either 86 or 89. I'm getting it mixed up now. But I think that that's one where we could see Caserio expend one of those seventh or sixth round picks to move up a couple spots to try and get him. So Yeah, I mean, that's about where I'm at. Do you guys have any final comments on the draft, on free agency, on the uniforms in general before we kind of bring this thing to a close?
I need it all happen tomorrow. I need the draft to happen tomorrow, the jerseys tomorrow. I need CJ in it, throwing in the bubble like the next day. I'm ready now.
Oh God, I'm ready too. Imagine that tomorrow morning, the draft, the next day, preseason, the next day, regular season. We're doing it. We're at year-round football all the time. If you like year-round football, check out the USFL. I don't know if I'm going to, but that's happening soon, right? I don't know.
The UFL.
Yes.
UFL. There we go. See, that's how much attention I'm paying to that.
It's part USFL, part XFL.
Here's the last thing I'll bring up. Someone on Twitter keeps pushing this, like, the shoulder pads should have the Texas flag on them because we are the Texans concept, even though I'm pretty sure we've moved way past that, I don't know, a long time ago. But my first thought was that looks familiar. It kind of looks like an XFL team. And then I looked and I was like, oh, wait, that is literally what the Roughnecks did with their uniform. And so, yeah, that's all I'll say about that. I don't think we need to give it too much thought because I don't think it's something worth considering. But yeah, there we go. I mean, I am glad that Curtis came on the show. Curtis, thanks for coming and hanging out with us. It's always nice to have another person to talk to about the Texans. There's never too many. Well, maybe in this form there could be too many, but there's not right now. So thanks for showing up. Like I said earlier in the show, Curtis, part of Curtis's podcast network, does an AFC South show, and they started their Texans show, episode 2. Will be coming out soon, and we're going to be getting to work on that right after this. So I'll be on that. So you should check it out for that reason alone and no other. No, I'm just kidding. You should check it out because we're talking Texans. Come on. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. Curtis, do you want to plug your socials? Let them know where they can find you.
On X, you can find me at Curtis PD Network. You can find me on YouTube, Curtis Podcast Network, and that Real Texas Team podcast is the name, by the way.
There you go.
The Real Texas Team.
Real Texas Team, not the fake one.
Yeah. Those boys with the star on the helmet. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
It's a zoo over there.
It is.
It says. I bet as soon as Dalton Schultz said that, he was like, that's probably going to be taken the wrong way all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. It's cool. He's on our side now. It's whatever. But Tom right below me is on Instagram now at TCTom1. If you want to check him out there, if you're watching on Instagram, you know where I'm at. But I'm at M1 Texans Fan on all of the possible forums that you could watch this on. But if you're looking to listen, it's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search up The Bullpen, a Houston Texans podcast, and you should find it. With that being said, thanks for tuning in. Love having y'all here to talk Texans with. As always, stay classy, Houston, and vamos Texans. Thanks for tuning in to The Bullpen, a Texans podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen.
Take the handoff. Stroud. Looking, Stroud.